When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, it's April 15th, and usually that date puts a panic into people.
No kidding.
Except for accountants.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good day for accountants. But yeah, we do not panic. You have like another month, right?
That's right.
That's okay. Right.
So let's do the show instead of doing our taxes today. This is the Lori and Julia Show with Lori and Julia.
It's a good thing. Yes. Yeah, we showed up today. Our names are on the marquee. Yeah.
Hi, guys. TGI Thursday.
Yeah. It's Friday for
it's
you.
It's Friday for me.
Julia's off tomorrow.
I am.
So this is really Friday. What's the happy hour plan tonight?
I know it, right?
I just bought First Ave tickets for like a show in August.
Did you?
Yes. I'm feeling almost normal.
What show?
It's that Waxahachie.
We've played them. We've talked about Waxahachie.
Yeah. Wow. It felt weird, but I did it.
That's awesome.
Marco, why would it feel weird?
Well, just because I haven't done it. I haven't done it in like a year.
I went out last Saturday night and I went to Minnesota Music Cafe and heard
The Good, the Bad, the Funky.
They're so good. And Jelly Bean.
Benitez. Jelly Bean Johnson.
Jelly Bean Johnson played with the band, played guitar. They are so good, but it was so fun being in there. You know, they've got high ceilings, and there's a good crowd in there, but people wear their masks, except if you're at your table. It was so fun. It felt so normal, you know, whatever normal is these days, but it was nice.
Going back out and doing fun things.
It was super fun. You need to make reservations, though. I'm just going to tell people that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the new thing that we've really learned, and it's hard for me because I'm not a planner.
Right.
But the new world of going out to dinner on Friday and Saturday nights because of the limited capacity of all these places, you really do need reservations.
Yeah, and maybe like by May, capacity will get bigger.
Yes, and there's going to be more outdoor spaces. It's just so bloody cold right now.
Because,
there's not a lot of that.
If you do want to plan some music stuff, Hook and Ladder has a lot of great shows, and those are on sale. And also, they're the relief sessions, but I think maybe Reiman Schneider called it Mixstock, or maybe Dan Israel called it Mixstock, like Woodstock.
Like Mick Sterling is putting on a bunch of music over a period of time.
At the Burnsville, in at the parking lot where he did the relief sessions last year.
Like the Burnsville Amphitheater or something?
No, it isn't called that. If you go to the relief sessions, but like Father's Day weekend, the Suburbs are playing, the Flamin' O's, Mary Jane Ulm.
All outside.
It's all outside. Yeah. Yep. So all those tickets are for sale.
Yeah. Awesome. I bought some Hook and Ladder tickets yesterday too for Matt Wilson. That's also, I think, in
when
August.
Is that?
That's like the first Friday in August. He was in Trip Shakespeare.
I got tickets. I know who he is. I stalked him back in the day.
He's a handsome fellow.
Oh, yes, I know.
Yeah. I got tickets for Teen and the B-Sides.
Oh, when is that one?
August at Hook and Ladder.
Did you buy me one?
No.
I know. Jeez.
Julia, because I don't ever know what's going on with your cabin.
I can't be counted on a
Saturday plan.
I can't. This is so true in the summer. I can't be counted on for anything.
Yeah, you can. All right. Mm-mm. I have to give a notable obituary that I've just been saving.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Gianluigi Colalucci.
Okay.
At the age of 91, died last week in Rome. But the reason why I bring Mr. Colucci to your attention is that he led the cleaning of the Sistine Chapel.
Oh.
And when he did that, all of a sudden people realized, wow, Michelangelo painted in color. It was unbelievable. And he was the chief restorer at the Vatican for many years.
Oh.
And it took just to remind people, maybe you've never taken the tour or done an online thing of the Sistine Chapel, but it took Michelangelo 4 years to create the Sistine Chapel ceiling frescoes and 6 more to paint his roiling, swirling Last Judgment on the altar wall. And thus, almost immediately, both works were under assault. Soot, smoke, and dust, and what was always a working chapel began to darken the once vivid colors. And starting in 1565, after years of criticism that deemed the naked figures of the Last Judgment obscene, these draperies were painted over all the genitals.
Okay.
And in the 5 centuries since, the chapel just kept getting darker, and the artisans kept trying to use varnishes and glues, just making it even worse. But in 1980, Colalucci, a veteran Vatican conservator, and his team began the task of, and it was huge, of cleaning and restoring the chapel. What happened in 1980 stunned the world. The colors were bold, clear and bright, apple green, startling blues, rosy peaches. Gone were the somber, shadowy images. Michelangelo, it turned out, was a masterful, even revolutionary colorist and a virtuoso at fresco. And a curator at the Metropolitan Museum of Art said it changed art history. All of a sudden, there was this new Michelangelo. So anyway, he was born in Rome. He grew up there as a child. He played on the steps of the Piazza del Campidigliolo. I don't know if I'm saying that right, which was designed by Michelangelo. So anyway, he felt like he'd been struck by lightning when they started working on it.
Okay, why this is so funny, Lori, is what is happening at the Mall of America.
Colalucci?
No, Michelangelo life-size replication of the Sistine Chapel. I can't figure out the date.
I was just looking it up, too.
I feel like it's later in the summer.
No, I think it's now.
It's now.
Oh.
And
through April 25th.
Yeah,
so I might have to go to this tomorrow.
You have 10 days to go check it out.
And do you know how long it took Colalucci and his team to restore it? Because, like, the first time I saw the Sistine Chapel was 1978, and I just vividly remember my girlfriends and I complaining about that our necks hurt.
From
and we got
up,
out of
okay,
there as fast
you're
as possible.
Hysterical.
Okay, and so
you're hysterical.
I know, really, we were like, another church and a chapel.
Yes.
Where's the disco? You know, where are the cute boys? But, but it took them 14 years to restore it. From 1980 to 1994 to bring forward the color and undo the mess.
Because I saw it in 1991.
So it would have been almost done or parts of it might have been.
It was beautiful. I remember the Vatican was like something I
just
beyond.
Yeah.
Everywhere. The art, I thought that was like the coolest place. But this is something to go see because the 19th, if it's ending. Oh, it's extended through the 25th, so we've got about 10 more days left at Mall of America to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
North
Atrium.
It might
be a great way to do it, because we went to Rome two summers ago.
Right?
And it was not good.
Yeah.
I mean, I had been there before, so I was into it, but my wife was like, this stinks. We just were herded like cattle.
Right.
You get in there, you're body to body. I mean, they obviously can't do that. COVID stuff.
No, I know.
But,
right.
But yeah, and then they yell at you for, you know, I mean, there's just, it was a hassle. I mean, it's beautiful, but.
It's funny because when we took your dad for his 80th birthday on the Mediterranean cruise, we did a quote unquote private tour of the Vatican, but you're still with other people.
Sure. In the private tour.
Yeah. But even there are other private groups going.
Sure. So everyone's talking over each other.
Kind of, and you've got the headset and everything, but your dad had decided from the minute we landed. In Rome, at Fiorici Airport.
Whatever it is, it's going to make me laugh. Okay. I know it.
He started speaking in wonderfully accented, broken English with an Italian uplift, adding a lot of A's to everything.
That's how I speak in Mexico.
And he started walking with his hands clasped behind his back.
Oh, like
and
a,
I don't know
like
why.
A museum observer?
In Europe, you see a lot of older gentlemen.
Saunter.
They saunter with their hands behind their back and they're kind of looking around.
Promenade.
It's a very European thing. So,
this is so funny.
And so sometimes this was an obstacle to moving. And when we were in the Sistine Chapel,
oh my God.
Where we were. It wasn't elbow to elbow. It was pretty crowded, and there were other groups coming along, and we were moving forward. Your dad was sauntering like an old Italian gentleman with his hands behind his back.
Oh, I can't imagine.
And he kept getting jostled and getting upset in the Sistine Chapel. And finally, I just said, Ken, let's hold hands while we go through here. You know, because Casey was like, Dad, just walk normal.
Right.
Your dad's like, what are you talking about?
No, I can hear him. No, I can hear.
So funny.
Rocco, my dad never learned Italian. But, and his grandpa, you know, my
paisan.
Paisan, manja.
Manja.
A couple things. But he, you know, his dad was from Italy.
Yeah.
So my grandpa Duke.
Yeah.
And he never learned it. And I just think, what a bummer.
No. The whole time we were in Europe, he spoke in broken. Because he also was having the relationship.
With the woman on the
not
ship.
Not fair, because she was single with her mother.
But wasn't she a Russian lady? Was he getting his accents?
Ukrainian. No, she was a Romanian. Doctor.
So he was getting his accents all probably mixed up.
Yes, he was, as they were speaking the language of love. And when she realized there wasn't another brother, I said, no, just my husband and him.
And he has blue pills.
All right, listen, when we come back, it's our story we can't get enough of. It's a news that shocked absolutely no one. All right, thanks for hanging out with us. Our story we can't get enough of course, is the story that absolutely shocked absolutely no one. Almost 1 month to the day after they staged their sticky reunion in the Dominican Republic over reports that A-Rod had been doing more than just sliding into a reality star's DM, J-Lo and A-Rod.
She's got it.
They've put their mouths together and released a statement, and they gave the exclusive to the Today Show this morning.
Here Which is interesting.
Yes.
For more than 4 years, they were the toast of the town. Global superstar Jennifer Lopez and former baseball slugger Alex Rodriguez quickly became one of Hollywood's hottest power couples. They stepped out together for the first time at the 2017 Met Gala.
When Alex came into my life, it was like, oh, I found a partner who could really hang with me, and he also wants to grow and evolve.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of pushing each other into our own second acts.
Back then, A-Rod telling Hoda why they were such a good fit.
Yeah. We're both from New York.
Yeah.
We both come from Latino backgrounds.
Yeah.
We both have two kids.
Yeah.
And I think we've both been through a lot and can really appreciate each other, both the good and the challenges.
A few years later, fans celebrated when the dynamic duo announced their engagement on Instagram. A-Rod popping the question with a huge diamond during a Bahamas vacation.
Well, he's brought something to my life that I've never had before, which is kind of an unconditional support and love and kind of a matching of like twin souls.
They planned two weddings, both originally scheduled for 2020, but the pandemic delayed those plans and ultimately ended them. Last month, reports were swirling that the couple had called it quits. At the time, they denied it, saying, "All the reports are inaccurate. We are working through some things." But this morning, J-Lo and A-Rod telling Today exclusively, "We have realized we are better as friends and look forward to remaining so. We will continue to work together and support each other on our shared businesses and projects. We wish the best for each other and one another's children. Out of respect for them, the only other comment we have to say is thank you to everyone who has sent kind words and support."
Okay.
She dodged another divorce.
She did.
In that way, COVID
literally
helped her, because he is such a puddinhead. Last night, before they made this official announcement together,
yes,
he did on Instagram, and I think he's taken it down. He did, first of all, he did a little montage, and there's a picture of he and J-Lo, just mm-hmm. the two of them. Then there's a picture of, like, he and J-Lo and the kids laying down on the grass. I think that was in People magazine.
Right.
And then a couple pictures that you couldn't see who was in the photos, but you know it was her. And then
right.
they scanned over to, in the sand, J-Lo, Jennifer plus...
In a heart shape.
In a heart, plus Alex.
Yes.
Where they got engaged. And over it was this song, which just made me spit out my coffee. Between that and the cheap frames that he had the photos in, I was absolutely appalled at the
He probably just bought them yesterday.
Rocky, play the song.
Rocky, play the song.
I like that song.
I love that song.
That's fine, but do you not agree that is a...
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Happy song for a cheater McCheater
to flash the photos, and like he knows he's getting broken up with. He knows the announcement's coming today,
and so last night it makes it sound like it wasn't his choice.
It totally makes it sound like
that. We knew a month ago,
but I don't think it was his choice. He cheated and he got caught.
But he's trying to make it seem that song makes it seem like the person who's been dumped has been wrong. He had good reason to be dumped.
No one feels for him, Lori.
No, I know.
No one feels for him.
I hope $20 she starts dating Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, so Lenny Kravitz is making the movie with her right now. They're hot.
Yeah.
That'd be super fun, but she's got to get over her broken heart.
Or maybe she just needs to date herself and be alone for a while.
That's so much fun.
You know, she's keeping
I love me. Remember when I was in love? I'm in love with me.
That's right. Having a relationship with you.
I love me.
She's keeping her options engagement ring. No, it's her fifth engagement ring, and she is keeping it.
$1.8 million engagement ring.
And I approve of that. I approve of that. Someone is trying to say, probably A-Rod, is trying to say that, you know, that the Timberwolves, that him buying the Timberwolves was like the final signal to her that everything was over. No, the final signal to her that was over was the fact that he kept stepping out on her and mm-hmm. being sneaky about it. And mm-hmm. she realized how much he probably was sneaking around on her.
But here's the disappointing thing for Minnesota. If they would have been together, she would have been sitting at the stands at some of the Timberwolves games.
Yeah, she doesn't need any crappy Timberwolf game to up her glamour, okay? She's plenty glamorous.
It would have been fun for us,
Lori. People are lining up. I can't imagine the DMs she's getting today from the beautiful world of available men. At this point, I wouldn't even mind if dated Brad Pitt.
Or Ben Affleck.
Just think she could have been in town. She hears about this LoJ. Yeah. She's like, LoJ? Who's that?
Hey, Rocco.
And the fact that they dropped this news on a Thursday morning to a morning news program, they want conversation about it. But she needed a month to get out of contracts. Remember, like a few days after they did those very horrible stage paparazzi photos in the Dominican
about
Republic.
About him racing down there in a plane to say
but he did the goalie gummy Instagram paid advertisements, and she did nothing but pose with her hitching finger absently, conspicuously absent. I mean, she's known, and they just took some time to, you know, tell the kids and get used to the fact that they're not going to be hanging out. But, you know, maybe they tried to be friends with benefits, and she realized it's not even worth that because she doesn't like double condoms, Julia. 2 years to build an empire, 2 years to crash it down. She dodged it, I'm telling you.
They were together 4 years.
I know.
That was a long time.
Oh,
all right. Well, another one bites the dust.
I'm so glad for her. So glad. All right. Listen, we come back. Oh, we're being joined by our friend Jasmine Brett Stringer, and we're going to talk about Share the Mic Foundation, which she started and is doing some cool things. We'll be right back. That's such a good song.
That is a song.
All right, we are welcoming Jasmine Brett Stringer to our show.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hello, Jasmine.
Hi, Lori. Hi, Julia. How are you today?
We're good. How are you?
We are good. We are good, and thank you for being with us.
Excited to talk to you. It's been a while.
It has been a while, but we go way back.
I know we do.
We go.
I feel like I should be the honorary host because I'm a J, you know.
Well, you
Lori,
are.
Julia, and Jasmine.
All right. Yeah, that is so true. And we met you, Jasmine. You introduced yourself to us at Glamorama.
Or was it Fox 9?
Many years ago. Gosh, how long has it been since there's even been a Glamorama?
Too long.
A long time. But that's how we kind of met you, was like the fashion thing. And then we probably saw you at Fox 9.
Yep.
And we would sometimes, you would be on Jason's show or we would be. And we've been kind of keeping up with you because tell us about this, your foundation that you started basically, or it's really a social media campaign, Share the Mic.
Right. I like to call it a movement, but it is a social media campaign. We started as a social media campaign and we have really evolved. Share the Mic Minnesota, which is really about amplifying the voices of Black and Brown women and the voices of those from marginalized communities in the state of Minnesota. When we talk about the problems of inequity and social justice and inclusion, no racist experience is monolithic. So I bring, you know, a person that was a transplant to the Twin Cities, originally from the South, you know, from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I bring my background with me, which is different from someone else when we look at situations. And when we really talk about healing and moving forward together and how we eradicate these terrible issues that we have in our state and country, we need to have as many voices and people at the table as possible.
Agreed.
Yeah,
that's
agreed.
Awesome.
And that was really, you know, I know Julie and I looked at each other on Monday after, you know, we came into work and after the news about, you know, the Dante killing of another Black man, Dante White, the day before. And it's like processing, understanding it, hearing what other people have had to say, then also it can be overwhelming. And, you know, I know you've been doing something and we'll talk about what you're doing tomorrow, but what advice can you give us as far as like, let's say you're a white woman and you've got a Black friend and maybe you for some reason haven't talked specifically about how are you processing that? I mean, how do you
start a conversation?
Yeah. You know, I will say that it is a hard conversation to have, but we should become comfortable with these uncomfortable topics. And mm-hmm. I think that's the thing, that we have to be willing to be uncomfortable. I remember last year, and I actually felt like, oh my goodness, is this a deja vu on Monday? Because not only did we have Dante Wright's murder here in Minnesota, we had that juxtaposed with the footage of the lieutenant in Virginia,
yes,
who was pulled over by the cops and did everything, quote unquote, right.
Right.
You know, hands out, mm-hmm. went to a lighted place. He's in his military uniform, up service. And he says, I'm afraid to get out the car because I don't want to put my hand down. And you think I'm, you know, reaching mm-hmm. for something.
Right.
And the cop replies, you should be afraid. Really? Like, he is doing every single thing, every conversation that families have with their Black sons, you know, with their Black male husband, mm-hmm. he was doing the right thing, and yet he had a terrible outcome. It wasn't the worst outcome, but a terrible outcome. And mm-hmm. then last year when we had George Floyd's murder, we had that juxtaposed with the bird watcher in New York.
Right.
So this guy watching some birds saying, hey lady, put your dog on a leash. It's the rules.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm calling the police. So it's like, what can we do? Because it can be a sense of hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would say for white women listening, white people listening, I have really appreciated my friends that have reached out and, you know, one checked in, which is, you know, just saying, I know there are no words, you know, I'm not going to try to, like, play the comparison game, but I just want you to know that I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I care for you. But then two, say, Jasmine, if you would ever feel comfortable talking about your experience, you know, I would love to schedule a call with you. I'd love to sit with you mm-hmm. and discuss it. I would love to sit with you and just hold space and share space.
That's
for
awesome.
Humanity.
That's like a great thing to say. And you know, when you're doing your event tomorrow, is that kind of what you're doing, kind of on a larger scale, though?
Yep. And it's really meant to be, you know, larger, but still an intimate size. And we've been doing this through the Share the Mic Minnesota community. And whether it's, you know, the black and brown women that have shared their stories, their voices, their call to actions, their perspectives, or the, you know, non-black, mostly female, but some men have mm-hmm. stepped up and said, I want to be an ally. And so really it's a place for us to come and, you know, lament. I've been thinking a lot about my grandmother this week. And I said, you know, my grandmother used to, like, when she was burdened, she would, like, moan and rock mm-hmm. and, you know, and cry out in weariness. And so really this is that safe space for people to say how they're feeling, for people to scream if they, you know, they want to mm-hmm. scream, to ask questions, to cry. But, you know, I'm an internal optimist, and the world is heavy, but I want to believe that we are on the cusp of great change. I always say there can't be, you have to have these valley experiences. So I am inspired by the people that are continuing to persevere, and I hope we, you know, we just each one reach one, touch one, and gain, and someone become more committed to the movement.
Yeah,
you know, so for people, if you want to get signed up for Share the Mic, MN tomorrow, providing a safe space to be heard, and it's moderated by you, Jasmine, and it's tomorrow from 4 to 5 on Zoom. But we have a link on the Lori.
So we're calling it, instead of happy hour tomorrow, it's the healing hour.
I love
it's
that.
The healing hour. It's the healing hour tomorrow. And then two for your listeners, black or white or whatever color, male or female, if you're interested in being an ally, if you're interested in, you know, supporting the work, please visit our website, Share the Mic Minnesota, or sharethemicmn.com, I should say, sharethemicmn.com.
And tomorrow, so you can just sign up. It's your link is posted on the Lori and Julia Show page at mytalk1071.com.
Is this going to be, this is a Zoom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it is a Zoom.
That's awesome. Thank you for doing that. And thank you for all the work you're doing.
And what kind, like, where have you guys, what has some of the things like Share the Mic taking over someone's social media account? Like, someone should, we try and stay on top of our social media, but like, who have you guys done that with?
Oh, we've done it with so many people. We have had 154 pairings. So I'm so excited. Your friend and colleague, Jason Matheson, he's a super ally. He participated twice in the campaign. We've had a bunch of local media people.
Good.
We had a collaboration with the Women's Foundation, and we had senior leaders in our community, Reba Dominski from the U.S. Bank Foundation. We had Jean Crane from Brimmer Bank. So we've had a cross sector of people step up and lend their platform for the day.
That's very cool. And I think you know, and do you do these healing hours? Do you do them like once a month, or what's the time?
Yeah, so, you know, we try to do them once a month, and we over the summer we were doing a Courageous Conversation series, so it just depends on what the need is in the community. But we have the share, the mic shares, the second and fourth Wednesday of the month, so we will be back next Wednesday with a mic share.
Okay.
Oh, awesome.
And we do want you to share the mic with us, mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, we're gonna flesh out a fun day to bring some new voices to the airwaves.
Yes, and Jasmine, it'll be the most probably organized show we've had in a year since Donnie Love left. I'm just saying. I mean,
it was nice, you know, connecting with Rocco today. But I used to enjoy it when Donnie would reach out.
Yeah. So I guess it hasn't been a year yet, it just feels like a year.
It feels like 7.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It really does. So if people are interested in joining Jasmine, she's leading it at mm-hmm. the Healing Hours tomorrow. Open, safe space for you to be ask whatever questions, talk about your feelings, whatever is going on. We've got the link on our show page for Lori and Julia. And we just have to ask you, Jasmine, before we let you go, because we met through fashion. What is the pandemic fashion trend you're ready to say goodbye to? And what's your first hello going to be?
Oh, the pandemic trend I'm ready to say goodbye to. Mm-hmm. You know, even though I have invested a lot in this, I'm ready for the athletic leisure theme to be kind of not the everyday apparel.
Yes.
I like that one, though.
Julia, if you came in to work with athletic wear like that every day,
well,
I
wear
would
a
cry.
Skirt over
yeah,
it.
I know.
I wear a skirt over my leggings.
How about, but what's the thing? I mean, for Julia and I know our answer is going to be shoes. That's what we, because I feel like we haven't gotten out, we haven't worn cute shoes in so long.
I know. I'm just ready. You know, the month of December, I try to get properly dressed every day, but in the month of December, I was like wearing all my clothes. I'm like, I haven't been to a formal. I haven't been to a semi-formal. I've got great dresses. I've got lots of sparkle. So I am like ready to get dressed up for like a true night on the town. Like I want to do all the glam.
Yes.
You know?
we agree.
We're with you on that one big time.
Totally. Check out hashtag share the Mike MN, Facebook, Insta, and Twitter, and
website sharethemikemn.com if you want to participate or support the campaign or learn more.
Wonderful.
Thank
you.
Everything is sharethemikemn.
All right. Thanks,
so thank
Jasmine.
You so
oh, so nice to talk to you. Take care, and we'll be talking to you soon. All right, Lorene, when we come back.
And just like that, Aiden is back.
Oh, can't wait.
Who doesn't know that is the start of Sex and the City?
I know. So I hope people still know it.
Oh,
Rocco,
yeah,
have you ever watched Sex and the City?
Maybe once or twice. I still need to watch the nipple episode.
I know.
What's my problem?
Season 4, episode 6,
Baby Talk is Cheap. That's the title of it.
I still have a script.
I know you do. We're going to sell that one day.
Are we?
Yeah, we are.
Pretty exciting.
With some nipples.
We were there.
We're going to sell
photographic proof that we were there.
With a couple pictures. Mm-hmm. The direct, you know. Oh, gosh.
Kristen Davis was so appalled that we left before they actually. We just saw him do the rehearsal of our scene with the nipples. And we had already been there for 4 hours. And
we're in Vegas. We're in New York for a weekend. And we're like,
yeah, Silver Cup Studios.
It's happy hour.
Yeah. No, it was like 10 o'clock at night.
I know, we were done.
We had to go out.
I know. We were so done. This is why we're not television and movie stars.
It's not very exciting.
Wait. You sit around and wait. If you have any type of a tick or ADD or anything,
we were thrilled,
or a need to go out and beverage.
It was 4 hours we'd been there.
So horrible. How many times they checked
and
the lighting?
And we'd been on standby since like noon, and we finally got the okay to go out there.
Horrible.
Like
I remember we drank way too many mojitos that night.
Julia, we did it. That was you.
That was me.
We had an interview at Oxygen Media the next day.
Puked in the wastebasket, Rocco.
She threw up in a wastebasket during the middle of filming an interview. This is why I
said,
did the PR.
Excuse me. And I turned and I puked in a wastebasket.
Just off camera. Hilarious.
It was in the Chelsea Flower Market.
Uh-huh.
Literally did that.
Yep.
And did it look like?
No one saw it. No, they cut it out. No,
they didn't.
No, we didn't. No, it was mojitos.
They actually were.
It was
were
when
like,
the mojito phase was starting in 2000.
Okay. And we just explained that we'd been at Silver Cup Studios with the Sex and the City people, and then went out, and they just They took it to mean that we went out with the Sex and the City.
Yeah,
so
I think
we got big leeway, Rocco.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Okay, so why did we play the Sex and the City music? Why are we reminiscing Sex and the City? The HBO. TV series, which is called And Just Like That, which is basically picking up with all of the women except Samantha, basically 20 years later. We didn't know if, like, Aiden, would he be back? Because he basically was not on the last...
two movies.
He wasn't in any of the movies, and he wasn't in the last season, because, of course...
Mr. Big came back.
That's right.
And
And when Carrie ran into him in like season 5, he had a baby around his body. He was married to somebody else. And just like we knew it was over. So he wasn't around. Anyway, he told Page Six in an interview, he did not tell Kelly and Ryan this because he was on their show this morning promoting Rebel which airs tonight. But he told Page Six, I'm going to do the show. And it's very exciting. And he's going to be in quite a few. I like all those people. They've been very nice to me. HBO declined to comment. And many people thought, you know, well, I would say the crowd was split. Should Carrie have ended up with Aiden or Mr. Big? That right. was big, you know, a few years ago when people were like, ah, you know, why didn't they end up together?
Mm-hmm.
And so as for Mr. Big, Chris Noth had said he wouldn't be part of the reboot, but later hinted on social media he could have a role because he probably found out that each of the ladies were getting $1 million
per
episode.
Yep.
So what would Aiden, John Corbett, Chris Noth, Mr. Big, are they worth the same price?
No. No, they're not the stars, but they'll get a lot.
Yeah.
They'll get a
exactly.
lot.
Exactly. So anyway, and so I'm glad that he was out making the rounds for Rebel and let us know that today, because I think that show is in pre-production.
I know. I'm so... That one makes me happy.
Okay.
And Rebel, watch that tonight, people. It's
okay.
a fun show.
It is. Okay. Now, how do you feel about this? This was in The Hollywood Reporter, a dramatic series, TV series, chronicling the life of Audrey Hepburn is officially in development.
Ooh.
And the Good Wife writers are doing it. And Audrey Hepburn's sons... The one son wrote the script treatment, and it's going to all be her formative years, which I guess we could say is show business in the 60s and 70s
exactly.
with all her Sabrina, The Nun Story, Roman Holiday, Breakfast at Tiffany's, My Fair Lady, and so many more. So, this woman who is a writer and producer, she did The Good Wife. She also did The Underground Railroad. She wrote for The Leftovers. She is going
to... The Good Wife was the best writing.
So great.
That was a great show. Now, that would be another one. I don't know if you have to have CBS All Access to get it, or where that you can watch that again, but that was a great,
series. Well, the show is going to be called, tentatively, Audrey.
Okay.
And we have no word on who will star in it, but the treatment for the show was co-written by her son, Luca Dodi.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And she really, her sweet years, Lori, were anywhere. Roman Holiday was 53. My Fair Lady kind of was, How to Steal a Million was 66. So those were kind of the sweet years.
Yep.
50s
yep.
and 60s. And
so
she,
fabulous.
Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah.
Entertain
you're right
us.
About Paramount Plus on The Good Wife. That's the only way to watch
That's
it.
That's the only
is
way,
that
to watch it?
Way to watch it.
And is Paramount Plus, you got to pay for that.
Yeah. You can get it. I got like a 1 month trial, which was pretty cool. And I used it to watch.
There's
March
a lot
Madness,
on that but. Paramount Plus.
Is there really?
Yeah. There
it's
is.
Decent.
There is. Yeah. And, you know, Yellowstone is coming back.
Do we have to have Paramount Plus?
I don't think so. If you've got the channel.
Oh, for crying out loud. Honestly.
How about
nickel and dime us to
I know.
Death.
How about Pete Davidson to play Joey Ramone in the Netflix
biopic?
Well,
you guys are more the music and punk rocker people, but it's based on the memoir of Joey Ramone's brother, Mickey Lay. The book was in 2009. It's I Slept with Joey Ramone, a family memoir.
Please.
I feel like he would be good at this.
I'm
just looking at
this.
The side-by-side pictures, but I don't know anything about the Ramones.
The Ramones, just know that they were good.
He died at 49.
And Sheena is a punk rocker.
Okay, he died at 49 following a battle with lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Almost all the Ramones are dead.
Are they really?
Yeah. I think that will be good. Left. Just the era of it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know,
well,
everything.
Laura, that was your sweet spot.
I got to tell you this real quick. Danielle Staub of The Real Housewives of New Jersey is pushing a dating app for non-superficial people. It is actually called S'more. I mean, she's the most gold-digging woman of all.
And she's been engaged like 26 times.
Something
and never
like
married. So, I mean, married once.
More than that. But,
right.
But yeah.
No one gets engaged more than her.
So it's an app called S'more, like s'mores, with the apostrophe, where the faces are blurred until matches get to know each other.
Oh, that's like The Voice. I mean.
Like that game show. Too.
I'm going to tell you something, because literally that's fine if you, maybe she's feeling she's not as pretty as she once was and she doesn't want to go on looks alone. She wants to work on clever dialogue. But really, you know, attractions, you can develop that, but
It's a dumb.
It's s'more.
Yes.
Yeah, s'mores to how I say it, s'mores.
S'mores. For non-superficial people only.
She's the most superficial person that we know.
I know. That's, I mean, her face would probably come up on a Reddit subthread about beware gold diggers.
Yeah.
It'd be Danielle Staub's face.
Here comes s'more.
Anyway, check it out if you're a non-superficial person, or be superficial and get on Tinder and Grindr.
There you go. We'll be back.